In this episode, well, I'm going to talk to you about what we've done in breast cancer and educate you about using the power of video to create a movement, a cause, an initiative, and it's going down right now.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by WireBuzz.
Hi, and thank you for joining us right here on Video Marketing Mastery. I'm joined by a mentor in my life, a colleague, a co-founder on an initiative that I started with him years ago. Dr. Jay Harness is with me. Hi, Dr. Harness.
Hey, Todd Hartley. Great to be here with you.
I feel the same way, Dr. Harness. Now, for those that don't know, Dr. Harness is a past president of the American Society of Breast Surgeons, the International Society of Breast Surgeons. Is that right? Also, Jay?
Yep.
Okay. And he has been in the forefront on the fight against breast cancer for a very long time, a dear friend and of mine, and also a helper as my wife went through the fight against breast cancer. We'll get into all of that. Dr. Harness, we sure have had a lot of fun working on our video campaign together, haven't we?
Yeah, we sure have, Todd. And what's been so interesting about it is the amazing impact that this whole effort has had on people. As I'm sure you'll highlight, we've had over 12 million views of our videos since 2011. And I think both of us have just been absolutely thrilled by the impact that we've had in the social media world.
Yep, I agree. You know, so I approached you in 2011 when my stepmom was diagnosed with breast cancer about starting a patient awareness initiative and use the power of video and take some of that information that you share on a daily basis with patients and create these videos that would be easy for patients to understand the different challenges or decisions that come along the way. And we quickly found out, I mean, check this out. I know that our goal for the campaign, we were given by our first sponsor to create 200,000 video views in the first 6 months, and we ended up generating 3.1 million and 6.3 million by the end of the first year. And it was obvious that breast cancer patients were in need of what you have to offer. So that was really wonderful, Dr. Harness.
Yeah, absolutely, Todd. We were thunderstruck by how people received us. We really focused on basic information, you know, different types of breast cancer, different stages of breast cancer, surgical treatment, radiation therapy, medical oncology, physical therapy, epidemiology. And then, of course, with your leadership, we started reaching out to the advocacy groups and got more and more in the way of survivors involved. And the thing... You know, the videos, Todd, are still bouncing all over the place. And I've had nurses up on the medical oncology unit come up to me and say, "Hey, Dr. Harness, saw your videos recently." And I was, "Well, really?" And yeah, it's just been thrilling. I think that's the only word I can think of is thrilling.
Yeah, it's really cool. You and I have been really lucky. So there were a couple of years where we live streamed from the biggest breast cancer conferences in the world, and whenever one of the latest researchers came off the podium, they releasing their latest information in the fight against breast cancer, they came and sat down with you and I, and we did live interviews. My gosh, every 10 minutes for 3 days. And that might have been the most exhausted I've ever seen the two of us doing live work, was having to process all that big science and explain what it means every 10 minutes.
Yeah, it sure was. That's the, of course, San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium. It's the largest meeting, largest certainly research meeting of breast cancer doctors in the world, held every December in San Antonio, Texas. It was great fun.
Yep.
And exhausting, as you said.
So, yep. Hey, let's give the audience a little inside baseball on how you and I did it, because I know that the audience is made up of a lot of video creators, a lot of marketing people, and a lot of entrepreneurs that as they're listening, they're probably saying to themselves, okay, so now I know you guys did this, but let's get down deeper into the nitty gritty. So Dr. Harness and I created a list of questions that patients would frequently ask him upon first meeting and second meeting and third meeting and so on. So we knew what those frequently asked questions are. We also use tools like Google and all these other websites where patients would be submitting in questions, and we could organize the questions based on audience demand. But one of the things we did at the very beginning is, Dr. Harness and I started off this campaign with a phase one and a phase two, and we knew the phase one strategy would be great for creating awareness, but eventually it would be impossible to scale, and we were okay with that because once we got to the impossible to scale, then we went into phase two, which was highly scalable. So in phase one, we asked people in the audience to submit in their own questions. And then Dr. Harness and I each night would get onto Skype. This is in year one. And I would ask Dr. Harness the question that came in from a patient somewhere. Dr. Harness would answer that question, not specific health information for that patient, but general information about that question, and he would always let people know that a specific answer will be best answered by your specific physician who understands your case more intimately, but then he would go on to answer the question. And so when Dr. Harness would be done, we'd record, by the way, on Skype, and the two of us would sit up, and we created the perfect backdrop. I think, if I remember correctly, Dr. Harness, you had a office studio setup and a home office studio setup. Is that right?
Yep, we sure did, Todd. And the point you just made was really important. We would get specific questions. You know, Sally from, Seattle would send in a question about, let's say, her mom. And we made it clear that we were going to give a generic, broad answer. But as you said, encourage people to work with a multidisciplinary team locally. But what we found was that our broad general answers were really hugely helpful to patients. And then we had an understanding with the patients that we were going to save those videos and then start to create a major library of these answers. And that, you're right, that was clearly phase one.
Yes, phase one, I know from when the point it became unscalable was we received so many questions from patients and their loved ones that from when you and I would get off the air to when I'd wake up in the morning, we would have 80 new questions waiting in our inbox, and all of a sudden it was unscalable. But those patients, in year one, Dr. Harness and I created over 600 question and answer videos filmed on Skype, and in a night we may be able to knock down 10 of them. And I really enjoyed that. That was a wonderful opportunity to learn from you. And along the way, I discovered I had an opportunity to pick your big brain on how someone in one industry goes on to becoming a expert in their field, and then use what I've learned and to transfer over into my industry. And I remember I asked you one day, and I think you and I might have been on an airplane or at an airport or something, and I said to you, what is it that makes a breast cancer surgeon one of the leaders in the world? And you said something to me, or like, Todd, every time we have a surgery, we always have a meeting with everybody in the room after on what we could do better next time and how we can optimize the process. Can you just talk about that briefly for a moment? Because we use it here at Wirebuzz when we get out of a meeting, and I love to hear you talk about that.
Yeah, when I went through my training, my surgery training at the University of Michigan, one of my lead professors said to me, when you get done with a surgical case, sit down right away for a few minutes and say to yourself, if I had to redo that exact operation in 1 hour, how would I do it differently? And sort of build up a reservoir of learning how could I do it a little bit better. In the world of surgery, we talk about it as lessons learned. Every patient every situation we get into, frankly, is unique. And there's a lesson to be learned from every one of those interactions, particularly in a place like the operating room.
Yeah.
You know, when I sort of tongue-in-cheek tell patients I'm making it up as I go along in the operating room, they kind of look at me horrified and say, "You do what? You make it up?" I say, "Yeah, based on 6 years of training and 40 years of experience."
All right.
You know, because every case, every person is slightly different,
yeah.
Even though we may be doing the, if you will, sort of the same procedure again and again. Every set of circumstances is different. So it's all about lessons learned. And that's true in your world of
yeah.
video and doing the shoots you do and the growth that you've had with Wirebuzz up to this day, which is spectacular.
Yeah, it's been really exciting for me to watch the company grow. But I look at myself based on the feedback that you gave me as a polishing stone that's going down the river. And with each tumble, it gives me an opportunity to polish and perfect. And I know that every time that my team gets out of a client meeting, we have a sync up before everybody leaves that room. What could we do better? Every time we go out on location for a shoot, we do a debrief on the way back to the airport. What could we do better? And that is something that I think I attribute to a big part of our success because we're consistently open to learning and improving. And that's a really great habit for people to get into.
Hey, listen, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't care what business you're in. Frankly, we all make it up as we go along based on experience. One of the fun little questions I have, what's the definition of the word experience? Mm-hmm. Knowing what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know what to do next? We had to live it. And if we should really take the time after every encounter, whether it's with a client, a patient, whatever it is, a video shoot, Todd, what are the lessons learned from that and how can we do it better the next time? Absolutely.
It's so cool. Now, Dr. Harness, you spend a good portion of your year jumping on airplanes, going to second and third world countries, teaching the latest techniques or procedures. I know one of your gifts to the breast surgery world and to patients is nipple sparing mastectomy, which is something that you get to go around and teach all the time. And if you could, in a couple of sentences, explain what a breakthrough that is for patient outcomes and the emotional reconstruction and what it was like prior to nipple sparing mastectomies.
Oh, yikes, Todd, in a couple of sentences. All right, let me do my best. So the nipple-sparing mastectomy, meaning we're saving all the skin in the nipple or areolar area and then doing an immediate first or second stage reconstruction, it makes the patient feel whole. Even though the patient is losing sensation in the nipple or areolar area, she can look at herself in the mirror, frankly, the very next day and say, wow, I still have something there that makes me feel feminine and my, in a sense, the breast is still there. This is all part of what's called an oncoplastic approach, oncocancer plastic surgery. It's not only techniques that we use, but it's a philosophy that we not only want to do the correct surgery for patients, but we also want to have the patients look good. And that's a real paradigm shift. That started about 15 or 18, closer to 20 years ago, actually by our colleagues in Europe. And then certainly over the last decade or more has spread here to the United States. I do have a major textbook out on nipple-sparing mastectomy. I have one of the larger experiences in the country in the procedures. But the great thrill for me is actually teaching fellow surgeons how to do this particular procedure.
Yeah, you know, I have seen the impact from those surgeons that you've educated. When my wife Wendy was diagnosed in 2013, Dr. Harness was in my phone while Wendy was getting diagnosed by her local doctor. And within maybe 5 seconds of Wendy hearing she had cancer, Dr. Harness was waiting to start educating Wendy and giving her the right concepts of how she's going to proceed ahead. And then the background that you and I had of connecting nightly on Skype to create these videos sure paid off when, after Wendy was diagnosed, you jump on Skype and talk us off the fence and help us strategize what the next. You're laughing because you know we were in a mess. And
hey, and that's the ultimate irony of our, the three of us founding and launching Breast Cancer Answers, Todd. Right. That's the ultimate irony that, what, 8-9 months later, here we are dealing with this on an extremely personal level. I should comment also that, well, Wendy had what's called a skin-sparing mastectomy, meaning we didn't save, or the surgeon there didn't save
yep.
all of the nipple areolar complex. He actually used, and by the way, he's a Michigan graduate, he actually used an oncoplastic approach. And when Wendy had her 3D reconstruction tattooing done, I mean, she's ended up with exactly what I'm talking about, a spectacular result, feeling whole and feeling good about herself. And we want more and more of our surgeon colleagues in the United States and worldwide to have that approach to our patients with breast cancer who need a mastectomy, and certainly an oncoplastic approach to those who we can lift and reduce the size of the breast. Actually, with a lot of these techniques, a woman, believe it or not, can come out of her breast cancer treatment looking better than when she went into it. Mm-hmm. And that can be one of the win-win bonuses that can result from all this.
Yeah, I think that's what happened with Wendy, and we were really lucky to have your expertise and guidance along the way. And whenever we created these videos for patients, we would start a new clip for each question in roughly 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, depending on the length, right? We yep. were never guided by keeping it at a certain amount of time. We were always guided by getting a nice, thorough answer, but not going too far over that. You agree with that?
Yep, I absolutely agree. And I also want to put a plug in for you and your team as we continue to grow in this. Frankly, the collective genius of all of you really had a huge impact, Todd, on really making this the success that it is. In the social media world of breast cancer, we basically have owned that space.
Yep.
And our impact has really been significant. And it really is the collective wisdom and genius of you personally and your team that has really resulted in what we've got today.
Well, we sure have had a lot of fun doing it. I know that in Orlando last week, you and I were both speaking at a 6:40 or a 6:35 in the morning on social media and breast cancer. And it was a real honor to be able to do that with you and to share what we've learned. And I think what we've discovered along the way is the early birds get the worm.
Yep.
And you got to jump out there and start doing something unique that the core of it is helpful, is the new viral. And if you're helpful with that target audience, it could be patients, it could be customers, it could be those people that are involved in a cause or a movement with you. But as long as you're helpful with your information, that audience will continue to come back looking for more information because you have something unique that they may not have or that they need. And by doing that, you're never really have to do marketing. And one of the things that we did very early on is Dr. Harness and I approached the largest organizations in the fight against breast cancer and partnered with them, created content with them. When we gave them out the content and they would share it socially, then the traffic would also come to our site because patients, our target audience, would want to come and get more of that great information that you were creating. So that was a win-win because in the core of marketing, you have to make sure that you're partnering with people that have something that you may not have. And in our case, at the very beginning, when we launched, it was audience. And then we got to a point where regularly we can have 250,000 minutes of our videos watched in any given month, and it's because of the valuable information you and your colleagues have put onto breastcanceranswers.com. It's pretty cool when you think about it.
Oh, absolutely. One of the other advantages to video, Todd, is as you reach out and share what we want to share, people can read you. They can tell that you're sincere, that in a sense, even though you're looking at the camera, you are in fact making eye contact with people.
Beautiful.
And they get a sense of how genuine you are, how real the information is. And so the advantage of video is just over almost any other, even though we're doing a podcast today, still that advantage to video is just dramatic and highly significant, Todd.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, we chose the right medium. We chose the right type of information. I'm so glad that you talked about making eye contact and the power of that eye contact and why when you're talking and you're giving advice, you should be looking into the lens and get very comfortable doing that. Because as humans, we develop relationships around it. And then it got me thinking that I have a speaking event coming up in Las Vegas in June sometime. And what they've done, and this is for a major jewelry brand, they're going to put me in a suite at the conference for the full day. And for 10 hours or something, every 30 minutes, there's going to be a group of 10 people to 30 people that are going to come in, and I'm going to give them a quick overview on marketing in the jewelry space and how to optimize their process. But what I discovered through this is I filmed these videos that they're putting out to their database of jewelers. And just like you said about looking in the lens, after I filmed it and I saw the videos in post-production, I didn't like the level of human-to-human eye contact I was making. And so I went right back to the drawing boards without even thinking about it and reshot it with a more intimate or comfortable level of eye contact and then sent it out to the client so they could start promoting it. Because you know that when you make that right type of contact, the audience resonates with it, but it's got to be genuine, right? And I think I was a little bit too busy the day I filmed for anything to be genuine coming out of my eyes.
Okay, well, good for you. Well, interesting, we should be talking about this because last night on 60 Minutes was the segment on Pope Francis has a movie coming out where it's an intimate story about him. But not only that, the way they filmed a major segment of it, he's literally looking straight into the camera.
Wow.
And they used a technique where there was a monitor that he's looking at with the person asking the question, but it's straight on.
Yes.
Instead of looking off to the side. And it's riveting because he's just riveting with this direct eye contact. So from a perspective of those who are going to be doing videos, please remember this. It's really an important point.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now, Dr. Harness, also when he travels, we will connect up on Breast Cancer Answers and do a state of breast cancer in these different parts of the world. And over the years, I'm going to try to knock a couple of them off the top of my head and you tell me what I've missed. But we've Romania, I believe we've done Lima, Peru, Ghana, Africa.
Hong Kong.
Yes. Maybe St. Petersburg.
No, I was in Helsinki. We did one in Helsinki. And I think we did one from Bangkok back when.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's always fun watching, you know, one of the top breast cancer experts and myself providing tech support to each other and setting up cameras remotely. I always have a lot of fun doing that with you. While you're with me, could you give us just a quick little state of breast cancer? Are we winning this fight?
We are indeed, Todd. You know, we're doing... Surgically, we're doing more with less in many ways. There are major breakthroughs coming on decoding the genetic makeup of breast cancer. Fundamental in the United States and Western Europe, Australia, New Zealand is still breast cancer screening, trying to find cancers before women can feel them. The movement, this next 3 to 5 years is going to be absolutely dramatic. And life expectancies, when somebody's diagnosed with an, what we call image-detected breast cancer, meaning you found it with a mammogram or ultrasound, is up in the 90% range at 5 to 10 years. So no, we're making huge progress, more targeted therapies. The big joke among my medical oncologists is that someday they're going to put me out of business. And I've said, you know what? I really look forward to that day. I really do.
That's really remarkable. Now, I know you are partially retired and you're now spending a portion of your time helping a smaller breast center build up its excellence in the work that it does. Can you just share a few moments with that with us?
Sure. I just stepped down from 14 years of practice in Orange County with a very large breast program. And a year and a half ago, started helping out in the Eastern Sierras of California. Two small communities, Mammoth, which everyone's heard of, where the big ski resort is, and then south of there is Bishop. And I go to Northern Inyo Hospital in Bishop, California, now actually twice a month. I've set up a little surgery program, multidisciplinary. We're linked with major cancer centers in Carson City, Nevada, Reno, and of course, City of Hope down in Pasadena, California. So we're doing great work. There's a considerable amount that we can do even at that local level. And the people who live in this beautiful part of the United States are just thrilled to death that we're providing more and more care on site.
All right. Now, I love this because I know one of your life goals is to help elevate patient outcomes all over the world. And that's really something that I find very inspiring. I know the listeners would too. You were there the day of my very first video interview, because I got scheduled in 2007 to go out to Orange, California at St. Joseph's Hospital and sit down with this rock star breast cancer doctor and do a video interview. And would you mind just for a few moments in front of this audience, just embarrass me and let them know how that, what that experience was like and how poor the video quality is and why they'll never see what that finished video ended up looking like?
Well, it may still be out there in the world of YouTube someplace. Yeah, you sat across the conference table with me with one light, almost a handheld little video camera, and I forget what we had as a mic, and it was pretty darn crude. But you know what? What we did, Todd, which is really critical here, is you and I had a conversation.
Right.
And when it comes to making videos like this, I talk to you just like I would any patient in understandable language. Keep it simple, keep it understandable, and connect. And we began that whole process right there on the spot. Some of the fun things that have happened to me through the years, I'll start one of my spiels with a patient about, well, let me tell you what invasive cancer is. And I get about 30 seconds into it, and the patient will say, stop. I said, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Oh, I've already seen your video. You don't need to go through it again. And that, you know, patients today not only Google me, no matter where I'm at, whether it's Bishop, California or Orange, California, they Google me. When they Google me, they find breast cancer answers. Then they start going through our section on being newly diagnosed, where we've got these really basic descriptions of things. And so they almost know, well, they do. They know you as they walk through the door. And I've had many patients say, well, gosh, in real life, you're just like you are on the videos. I say, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. And it begins the conversation before they ever walk through the door. It also helps to empower them, feeling they're getting reliable, good information. Yep. And relaxes them, and as you indicated a minute ago, begins the process of their important emotional reconstruction.
Absolutely. You know, Dr. Harness, we did such a powerful job creating information for your target patient that I heard at one point from your competitor practice that said, what do I have to do to get Harness off of the front page of Google and YouTube? and I'm sure you heard that because I remember you calling me from somewhere in Colorado where you were on a facility tour for, I don't know, I think NIH or something. And you said you were walking down the hallway and nurses stopped you or patients stopped you and said, I love breast cancer answers. And sure enough, the word was getting out that that information was there on the internet and people were discovering you and the great information that you share with patients.
Well, that is a true story, actually. but it's, you know what, Todd, it's not about me. What it's about is the genuine sharing of vitally important, understandable information. And that's why, along with your team, we've been so successful mm-hmm. in doing what we've done over this past few years.
And then as a patient, when Wendy and I went through it, because the information that we created in honor of my stepmom, just, you know, a year before, it was such an easier patient experience because we had access to the information on demand whenever we needed it. So when we got started, I had no idea that what we were going to be create would be helping Wendy and I. And on my desk in my office is only one book. And I keep that out right next to me because it reminds me on a daily basis the impact that the work you can do and how it can impact people that you may never meet. And that book is the one that you and Phyllis Gapin worked on together. Tell me about the Breast Cancer Answers book.
Yeah, the Breast Cancer Answers book is in paperback, and it's the only book that I know of co-written by a knowledgeable physician and a survivor. There have been plenty of wonderful, knowledgeable colleagues who have written books about breast cancer. Susan Love comes to mind and many others.
Sure.
And there's been books written by survivors. But there's never, to my knowledge, been a book jointly written by both a breast physician and a survivor to really embrace the patients and help them with the journey that they're beginning. The book has done very well. I was handing it out to all my newly diagnosed patients. They would come back saying, wow, this really reinforced not only what you told me, but really helped bring my anxiety down because I was getting the journey that I was beginning. I got individual steps along the way with all the different options that there are for treatment. And it's a wonderful guide and been highly vetted and highly embraced by the community. It's called the Breast Cancer Answers Book, and it's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and places like that.
And what we'll do, Dr. Harness, is on the show notes page for this episode, we'll make sure that we link to it. So people who are listening that would want to get access to that book or breastcanceranswers.com or, you know, really any of the content that we've created will know where to go, and it'll all be on the show notes page for episode 157. Now, coming up after Dr. Harness, we've got Dr. John Williams, who I was introduced to through Dr. Harness. By the way, you should know that Dr. Harness has introduced me to like half of the people that I know in my whole life. And right. I mean, we're just at a conference and you were like everybody's coming up to talk with Dr. Harness and because of his impact on the industry for so many years. And then after they stop by and if they don't already know me, Dr. Harness is going to make sure that they know the impact of the work that we've done together. And if they do know me, it's an hug around both of us. And I can't be more thankful to have and more grateful to have been able to work with you and educate patients and make their outcomes better through access to really great information.
Well, thank you, Todd. And back at you, man. This is, as I said, it's in my line of work. It's always a team effort, and the team that I work with, and you and your other associates there at Wirebuzz, we should be proud. We're doing good stuff. We really are.
I agree. Now, in the famous words of Dr. Harness, when we would get off the call each night on Skype, Dr. Harness would say, "Tally-ho, Hartley, tally-ho." And
that's
so,
right.
Dr. Harness, thank you so much for joining me. It's a real honor to have you here.
My privilege and honor, Todd. Thanks so very much.
All right. So joining me right now is Dr. John Williams. You know, one of the cool things about Dr. John Williams is what he's doing for breast cancer patients. He's a breast surgeon, the medical director of the Novant Health UVA Breast Center in Northern Virginia. Dr. Williams, welcome to the podcast.
Todd, thank you so much for having me. And thanks for helping share what we've been doing together, the Breast Cancer School for Patients. I'm so excited that you invited me and want to tell you how to get better quality breast cancer care in your community. And that's the whole purpose of what we're doing together.
Right. And so, you know, Dr. Williams and I, we met a couple of years ago at the American Society of Breast Surgeons Conference. We sat down, had an immediate connection. Dr. Williams has been working on this breast cancer school, and he created these modules of video, and I'll give you an idea of some of the modules, like breast cancer surgery, or breast imaging and biopsy, or maybe radiation oncology. You know, everybody's in a different place. Like, if we talk often on this podcast about the different customer journeys that people go on, well, a breast cancer school from patients also has different journeys. And Dr. Williams has created these modules of videos where he's explaining the complex in simple to understand terms. And we've had a great opportunity working together. And Dr. Williams, you created actually your own little studio at home where you're creating your videos. Tell us about that.
Well, I'll tell you, when I was starting to learn about creating a message, and I realized that I could not just simply do it with the website, and that video was the essential way to communicate not only a message, but context and sensitivity and importance. I knew that's the direction I need to go. And so ultimately, after meeting with you guys, I created a basement green screen setup studio so I can go in my basement, film anything that I need to, a module. I can film a module or a lesson about why you need to get mammograms every year, starting at 50 or 40 or whatever the topic is. And I can go in my basement, film that, and then create excellent videos, edit them, and they are powerful to put out on online, on YouTube, on our website. And I owe it all to you and Wirebuzz and your team for guiding me through that process. And I'm up and running. It's amazing. I had so much fear going into it. Now it is second nature to me. And I'm a doctor. We don't do video. So I'm indebted to you.
Well, we've had a lot of fun. You know, one of the ways that I knew that you were for real, and that this was more than just a wish, it was a passion of yours to educate patients, was that you actually came out to Arizona to our offices twice and had, like, each time you would have a full day one-on-one workshop with different members of the team. And so you would meet with Marcus Krieg and he would talk to you about the strategy and how to create the scripts for your videos and the way you're supposed to hook people at the beginning and all those details that Marcus nerds out on. And then you had social media training with Christina Romero, who leads our breast cancer initiatives. And then, like, 6 months later, like clockwork, man, you came on back and we got more Dr. John Williams and we did more education. How did that whole thing work when you went to launch? Were these little retreats out to Scottsdale, they were beneficial for you, right?
Oh my God, they were absolutely essential. I would have otherwise, let's teach you about breast density and what it means. And that means if you got a dense mammogram, density on your breast mammogram, then you have a higher risk for breast cancer and it's harder to pick up cancers when they're small. So let's take that as a topic. I otherwise would have come out and started just talking in my usual way, and I would not have structured it well. And the retention of viewers when they click on the video from start to finish would have been nowhere where they are now. You guys taught me how to create a video, how to create state-of-the-art best practice thumbnails for videos, how to create them like teasers, lead in, tell you what you need to know, and then actually achieve that. And Todd, what's really exciting is that I just launched the website and all the videos 7 weeks ago. And so far there are 50 videos. Out of 68,000 views as of today,
how many?
The average watch time is 5 minutes, which is crazy. And I owe that all because I made good videos because of Wirebuzz and the training that you all gave me.
That's so cool. How many videos did you say again?
Well, I initially have launched 50 videos, all topics covering all the important things about breast cancer. More to come, but the essence of breast cancer and breast health.
Dr. Williams, how many views have you had so far?
68,000 as of today.
That's remarkable, man.
It's been fantastic. And so just think about looking at a video, and most of the time in breast cancer, people may watch them 60, 90 seconds, click off. To think that on average, 65,000 people have looked at these videos on average for 5 minutes is a testament, not only to the message that I'm trying to convey, but mostly to the fact that I've used best practices that I would not have known one thing about without the training with Marcus and Christina and Sarah and yourself.
Well, it's been a labor of love, not only for you, but for the team here. And I want to make sure that anybody that's listening knows where they can find out more information. Just go to breastcancercourse.org. That's breastcancercourse.org. And I was lucky enough to be with you last week in Orlando at the American Society of Breast Surgeons, and I saw firsthand how the industry was excited about this groundbreaking school that you've created for patients. Quick question for you. Does a patient have to go through the entire school to graduate, or how does that work?
Great question. You know what? This is – I had to combine such – breast cancer is so complex, and it's so complex for even physicians and doctors to understand. And so my challenge was to organize this in a way and take the most complex topic. And, you know, one that's very fearful. Anyone that dives into this, a family member or you have breast cancer, you're scared. Your brain is foggy. I organize the information so you can kind of click through and figure out what's pertinent to you, video by video, text with a video, links with each topic. So you can pick the topics that are pertinent to you and move on. And that's the beauty of it. It's free, it's available, and it is specifically designed to educate you as a patient and a person. So then when you are engaging with your physicians, you make sure that you have the cutting edge technology and high quality care on the table when you're making treatment decisions. And that's the whole point, because so many people out there really do not get high quality, it's competent care, but not the best. And that's my goal. It's so important for you as a patient to advocate for yourself, but it's impossible to learn it on your own. We're the only people that actually teach you what you need to know.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, as a son and a husband of breast cancer survivors, I was surprised going through it how many decisions we had to make. You know, you would think that as a patient, a lot of them would be made for you, but there's a lot of options that come up. And I can see where a breast cancer school for patients would be such a valuable tool to make sure that the patients actually feel like they're in control of their treatment options, and they can work in conjunction with their surgeon or their medical oncologist to help make the right treatments that the right treatment decisions that improve their outcome. And And that's remarkable. And I'm so glad that you're doing this. And I'm even more honored that we get to be a part of the Breast Cancer School. Dr. Williams, thank you so much. Look, for anybody who's interested in finding out more information on the Breast Cancer School for patients, all you have to do is go to breastcancercourse.org. And can you give us, as we're saying thank you and bye for now, is there a module you're currently working on that'll be coming up?
I am now going to start working on some new genomic information that's going to come out in June that can transform whether patients will or will not need chemotherapy. It's called the Taylor RX study, and it's a trial that's going to be released with information in a couple of weeks that will really help doctors guide whether or not a specific group of patients that we really don't know what to do with, give them chemotherapy or only need to take hormonal pills, hormonal blocking pills. And that is going to be a breakthrough, groundbreaking, practice-changing study. And so when that information comes out, I'm going to produce a video that makes sense, that's in layman's terms, has all the written information and all the links to all the references. So that's what my next step is. And this is what we're going to be doing going forward, sharing good information, putting it in a format that's understandable and engaging.
Oh, beautiful. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to share with the audience just a little bit of guidance that I gave you on the Taylor RX release that's going to be coming up in ASCO in a couple of weeks. I will be there in Chicago the day that it's announced. And I go to ASCO regularly every year. And it is a important conference of the year in that space and industry for medical oncologists. And so one of the things that I shared with you is that even though this is going to be breaking news and we don't really know what the outcome is going to be, you can prep a good portion of your script prior to the breaking news. Because when that news breaks, that video that you're going to create needs to, if it's going to be effective, needs to get picked up by the swell of public interest and media interest around the topic. So you want to prepare at least 2/3 of it, and then you drop in the breaking news portion of it into that spot, the news, so you don't have to create the whole thing. Because just like somebody like me who grew up in a beach town, I've seen this trend before, and when the popularity on a breaking news story starts to pick up, you need to, just like a wave, paddle into it as it's developing. And the only way you can do that is if you prep it all out in advance, with exception to that breaking news. And it sounds like you're well on your way to do that.
Well, Todd, you know, these are the little tips that marketers don't know for companies. And anyone that wants to communicate a message, whether it is business or personal, or in this case, a not-for-profit entity. These are the tips that you share with me that transform what I can do and make it more powerful. And I mean, that's just a little tidbit, but it's so powerful for me and then you, and move forward. And collectively, everything I'm doing are bits and pieces that I've learned with you and your team in Scottsdale, online and in person, that allow the Breast Cancer School for Patients to be incredibly successful in its infancy. And going forward, I hope to be a national patient educational platform that really will help empower patients to get better cancer care.
That's really cool. Now, if you want to get access to the Breast Cancer School for Patients an email newsletter, you can register online. You can sign up for their breast health newsletter. And once registered, you'll get immediate email that you'll be part of this cutting edge list that'll have questions to engage your breast surgeon, your medical oncologist, your radiation oncologist with. And as you can tell from Dr. John Williams, you can tell his passion and his interest. And whenever you're looking for somebody to follow, they always have to be somebody that is aware of developing news stories, and they understand how that information fits into the bigger context of patient care or marketing. And you can tell that in his sphere of influence in the breast cancer space, you know, he's going to be one of the best to bring you the latest information. Breastcancercourse.org breastcancercourse.org. That's breastcancercourse.org is where you should go. Dr. John Williams, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Absolutely, Todd. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for having me.
Well, those were two people that I've really enjoyed working with over the years. Dr. Jay Harness, past president of the American Society of Breast Surgeons, breastcanceranswers.com, and also Dr. John Williams. He's the creator of the Breast Cancer School for Patients. And for more information on Dr. Williams, breastcancercourse.org, breastcancercourse.org. And if you want to get access to any of this information, all you have to do is go to the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/157. That's 157. And if you want to learn how to use your videos to create a movement, right? If you want to know how to move people through a buyer's journey, or you want to share with your team why video, well, I've created a little 30-minute webinar where I'm talking directly into the camera and I'm giving you some of my best secrets. You can get access to that at wirebuzz.com/speedo with an S. Yes, speedo. And you'll know why in the first few minutes, why it's wirebuzz.com/speedo, because I tell you my most embarrassing story of my entire life in the opening. I explain how that has to do with creating a movement, using video, moving people through a journey, a buyer's journey or a patient journey or a customer journey, so they can become followers and you can grow off of that. And I also explain why I'm wearing a blue Speedo standing in public. You're not going to want to miss that. Wirebuzz.com/Speedo. And if you want to get more of these podcasts on how to use the power of video for sales, marketing, and a return on investment, just go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Hit the subscribe button and each and every new episode to a week will get sent directly to your mobile device. So if you're in the car or sitting in traffic or on the subway or at the gym getting huge like me, you have something you can listen to so you can also educate your brain at the same time you're doing another task. iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play for the Video Marketing Mastery podcast. And you're not going to want to miss what comes up next. I've got several big interviews coming. Valuable information that's going to make you a smarter marketer, a more profitable entrepreneur, and you'll get all those coming in the next couple of episodes so you can be a video marketing master. Bye for now.